Hey everyone, welcome to the Playbook Perspective. Thanks for tuning in. Today we have a very special guest to me. It's my aunt. Her name is Ellie White and she is here from Pennsylvania. Ellie coaches a high school softball team, and for the past 3 years her team has come down to play in a tournament in Tuscaloosa that my dad puts on at Rhodes Stadium. But this year they had to play in a Hoover tournament, and I was lucky enough to have a little bit of time to hang out with her at home in Tuscaloosa. And this podcast episode is a bit of what our phone conversations look like. But she's definitely someone very special in my life and someone who I looked up to a lot as a kid and still to this day. She is a happy-go-lucky human, and I love to talk to her and get her insight on things. And she is the same way with me. She loves to hear the player perspective from my point of view, and I always feel very lucky when she asks me for advice. So it's a bit of a lengthy one. We can talk for a long time. But I feel like it's all interesting. I cut as much as I could. So please enjoy. People give you ear, so I be sublime. It's enjoyable to know you. Welcome to the podcast, Ellie.
Thanks, Mai.
Okay, so actually I need to know some background about you. Why don't you tell the listeners about your background in softball?
Oh.
If you want.
Well, that goes way back because I'm old. But I started playing when I was little, like everyone does at like 5 or 6, and carried on through high school. I played in college at a school up in the Poconos, a Division II school. And then I played for a women's team throughout my years until I was about 42. And it was a Class A women's team, fast pitch. And then I've been coaching for 30 years.
Wow. I didn't realize how long you've actually been around the game.
Yeah,
in all honesty.
I was at Abington for 20, just coaching-wise, I was at Abington for 25 years, and then I've been at North Penn for 7 years, so 32 years coaching.
At least the reason why I'm so good at softball, not dad.
No, your dad is.
So, I know you're in season right now. Ellie's actually in town for a tournament in Hoover, playing Gulf Shores tomorrow. Orange Beach. I get it confused.
Yeah, Orange Beach.
How do you handle tough moments like a losing streak or conflict among teammates? I don't have to ask that, but that's funny.
That is a tough one because that's what we're in right now.
Exactly.
We have, actually, since I've been with North Penn, I've never lost more than three games in a season. And we are now 4-5. So I've never experienced a season like this before at North Penn. And it's tough because that's when everything goes downhill and everybody wants to blame everybody. But you just got to truck through and keep a positive attitude. I think high school kids are a lot different than they were back 20 years ago.
That's where I was going to go, because I was just going to ask you, like, I want to know what you've seen, like, the biggest differences between the kids that you started out coaching with mental-wise and then now, because I do feel like coaching has gotten a little bit softer in some aspects.
Yeah. Well, you and I talk about it all the time. When I started coaching, you could drive them, you could work them, and they wanted to be worked. And then it started to change, and then it was, I feel like you could still push them, but in 2015, I feel like it started getting to the point where you had to be nice when you push them. Not that you're ever mean, but that you're pushing them in like a way that you don't hurt their feelings, sort of, because I feel kids get their feelings hurt. I once taught a kid how to turn a double play at Abington, and she went home and told her parents that she didn't know how to turn a double play, and that Coach White yelled at her for it. And all I did was just teach her how to turn a double play, but she took it as some type of criticism, that because I was teaching her that she didn't know how to do it.
Yeah, I was pretty cautious about that, although I've only coached for 2 seasons.
Yeah, but
and
you
I
had
did
the
14
little.
And under.
Yeah.
And well, they were 16s by the summer, but.
Oh, that's true.
Or last fall. But I definitely found myself like thinking about everything like 5 times before I said it to them, because I didn't want it to be harsh all the time, because I do feel like when I'm coaching, I'm like, you have to do this, you have to do this. And they don't listen. And I don't know how to get it across in a way that, like, is on their level.
Yeah, but...
And is nice at the same time.
Right. But on the same point as that, you have to hold them accountable.
Yes.
So if you're telling one of your players to do it, and they need to do it this way, a lot of those kids, they want to do it their own way.
Yeah.
And their way is the right way. And this is the way that they believe will work for them. When you've been coaching and you know it's not going to work for them, but they don't want to hear that. So your approach with them has to change almost on like a season by season basis.
Yeah.
Because they change so much. You know, we got from Murphy, Mudita.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that on our shirts.
Yeah.
Did you see it on our shirts? We played the clips of him video on
Brittany
YouTube,
Rogers.
The Anatomy of a Teammate.
Yeah.
And
I've seen that video probably a million times.
Yeah, it's so good. And they still don't get it. Like, they still don't get
it. No, and I don't know what it takes.
I think it has to be within. And I truly think that it's become such a selfish, like, thing right now because of social media.
That's where we need to head. That's a great transition, because you just see all the, like, they're watching film of a girl from KG from Orange Beach, because they know she's committed to South Carolina, and she is good, granted, but they can see it all over social media now. Like,
right.
You didn't do that when you were playing in college or in high school.
No, we didn't know anything about it, and that's why we always wanted, it wasn't for us. We weren't playing for yourself. You were playing for everyone else around you.
Because I think recruiting is so different now, too.
Oh, I think
it's harder. Social media.
Yes. Yes.
Plays a huge part in.
Yes. And I think that's why some of the kids, and I can say one of our players is so focused on just herself, because she puts everything out on social media and it's all about her. And every time she does it, she always hashtags her school that she's going to. Mm-hmm. And it's a big, and she starts saying things to other kids, and I think it brings everyone down. But I think social media was the starting point of the downfall of, like, at least high school athletics, from where I stand. I can't speak for collegiate, but
yeah,
the high school athletics.
Because I think high school athletics are, in ways, like, getting so much more competitive,
yeah,
softball-wise.
Yes, but on the flip side of that, how hard is it now to be recruited for high school, from a high school? Because everyone's going in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
So if you're a college coach, who are you going to pull out a high school senior to be on your team? Or you want a kid who's seasoned and was playing, already has 100 college games under your belt?
I talked to Murph about that this past summer. Me and Dad Murph talked about it, and how he's getting a bunch of players from the portal. And I don't remember exactly what he was saying, but I just remember thinking, like, I don't understand how it creates a team culture.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Barons, I feel like they're not really friends, because you've got so many people coming in and out. It's hard to play as a team, because you constantly get people getting sent down and sent up, and new people coming in.
So there's not a lot of chemistry.
No.
On the team. Right. And I think that has a lot to do with
making it individual sport.
Yes. That's an NIL.
Yes.
And that's social media too. I mean, college athletes gets what, money for making posts.
Yeah.
On their, so I think, yeah, I think it's so different from when I first played, and I miss that. I miss when you could just go play and not have to worry about, like, oh, well, I did go 3 for 3. I got to post that out to everyone.
Yeah.
I got to make sure. Like, it's just seemed easier. And it's hard to coach now with kids just wanting to be about themselves.
Yeah. I want to know what a normal day, like, practice day was like, you in school and playing in college.
Oh, a practice day?
Like, just a day to day.
That was, I gotta tell you, that was even better. Now, I find myself, like, so in college, I went to school, I went to my classes, mm-hmm, I went to practice, I went to dinner, I went home, I did my work. I can tell you now, if I was in college, I would somewhere in there be on social media. Twitter,
mm-hmm,
or X, whatever it is. TikTok.
Yeah.
And that consumes you.
Yeah.
So, like, even that's different. Even your preparation for games, practices, that's different, because you get sucked in. You get sucked in. I mean, what one of the Phillies turned off their social media before the playoffs. Turned off everything. Mm-hmm. Like, when no parts of it, because he didn't want to be distracted. He just wanted to focus on the game itself, mm-hmm. and nothing else. So he turned off all his social media. But, I mean, I think back then, I can tell you now, I probably could not. I think it would be so hard to be a college athlete with everything going on right now because of the day-to-day schedule.
I think a D1 athlete would be tough.
Even your... BSC when you was were tough. In, yeah. I was like, you go to school in the morning. You had workouts.
Yeah, we would have 6 a.m. lift. Yeah. Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Right.
And then we'd have, like, groups at 10.
Yeah, in the morning.
I would come back, take a nap, me and Emma, and then we'd be in the same hitting group in the morning, and then we'd go to class, and then we'd come back for, like, a team defense that day, which only lasted, like, 30 minutes, but...
Right, right. And then that's, like...
And then I would go and do homework.
And that's Division III.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, maybe you don't do the traveling as much as the D1 athletes, nope. but the commitment is still
the same.
It absolutely still yeah, the same.
I will say that.
Yeah, so I think it's tough. I think the whole athletic landscape right now in high school, college, yeah, I think it's a tough route, coaching it and playing. I don't know. There's so much technology. The other thing is, when I played in college, we didn't have, like, the technology that they have at, like, University of Oklahoma now. Like, yeah, the hitting crazy. Technology, even pitching, the videos you can get.
That's we didn't why have, they're so good.
That's exactly right. It is insane.
The weightlifting, too. Crazy, because they've got the baseball, I know, wears those. Yes. They look like a sports bra. I don't know what they're called.
Yep. Like the harness thing.
Yeah, so that way they can see how hard they go that day at practice.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the
basketball
coach
has that, too.
Yeah, which I think is great.
Soccer has it, and they... Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing what they can do now. And and don't you think the research for, like, the weight programs have mm-hmm. come so far, too?
Yeah.
I wish, I tell your dad this all the time, I wish I grew up in this time, minus the social media,
mm-hmm.
to play.
The technology is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, obviously you have a passion for coaching. But do you have one coach that, like, really made a difference and your, like, mindset with you playing softball, like, as a player, and, like, kind of translates into how you're coaching now?
I think I learned a lot from the coaches I didn't like.
Okay.
Because I think I learned that I didn't want to make kids feel like some of the times that how they made me feel.
Mm-hmm.
So my favorite coach is my high school softball coach. He was my favorite. I had three different softball coaches in 4 years in college.
Right.
And I took a little bit out of each one. That it's hard to get to know a coach after 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that my biggest motivation was just I love the game.
Yeah.
So I don't think I styled it just after, you know, the things I saw, the way I wanted to treat kids the way I wanted to be treated, mm-hmm. type of thing. But I think that I just love the game so much, and that's what got me into coaching itself.
Yeah, I'd say I found myself when I was coaching this past fall and summer, like, remembering what my freshman year was like.
Yeah.
And although I sometimes wanted to react in that way, I remember thinking, like, I felt terrible then. Like, yeah. No one felt good. And so I kind of was like, I need to avoid that and do what Curry did.
That's right.
Because exactly Curry right. drew.
Well, you liked her from the get-go.
Yeah.
I remember how highly you talked about her.
Yeah.
And she seems like a good egg.
She is. Do you have a superstition? You don't. Believe in jinx.
I don't believe in jinx.
You don't?
No. You've known me for 100 years. I do not. I don't think there's anything. Like, superstitions, I follow along with the traditions of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Just because. But I do not. I do think luck plays a part.
Yeah.
But I do not think that I'm not a really big superstitious type of person. Because I think you create your own luck. Like, wearing these same socks just because I wanted them one day, these socks aren't going to make me win in them another day.
No, yeah, that's true. I wasn't like that. But there was, like, a certain person. Yeah, that, or, like, somebody had to do my hair. Like, Olivia needed to braid my hair.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, or, like,
so did you?
Katie needed to tie my ribbon.
So if Katie didn't tie your ribbon, you would play bad?
No.
Right.
But it just needed to happen anyways. Like, it made me feel better.
For mental.
For me, like, although I'd forget about it, like, in the game, like, I do have Snapchat memories from last year that came up recently. It was like, Jaylee's doing my hair today. I'll keep y'all updated on how I do. So it's like, and I think we were at Suwannee.
Oh, that's funny.
And I didn't play great, I'll be honest.
And who did your hair?
I did. All I remember from that trip is that I had a ground ball going between my legs.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Straight under my legs.
That's so not like you.
No, and I was so mad about it, and I got a line drive hit at me the next one, and I remember catching it, and I threw the ball back at the circle because I was just so mad.
I do remember the one that the first base got in your way.
When I was, in Huntington, she was in the baseline. I found that video, too, and I just straight up, like, ran straight into her.
Yeah, you did. I did. I did appreciate the toughness in that.
Yeah. I don't like Huntington anyways, but I appreciate you being here in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, I love being here in Tuscaloosa because I get to see you.
Thanks for chit-chatting.
Miley.
Even though this is literally just what we do every day.
I know. You're my favorite person in the world to chat
with. Thanks. Yeah. Me, too.
I love you.
Love you.